often sit in church. I am unique. I embrace that. I often sit in church and I think sometimes what it was like when I didn't know Jesus could. And now being on this side, it's a blessing. There's nothing that Jesus can't do. Amen. We just need to be willing vessels. He's special, ain't he? I can't imagine living today with everything on the horizon and not have a local church, and not have a hope in Christ. This thing's fixing to spin out of control. And I'm sorry, but I haven't booked a ticket for it. I'm not going to be able to ride with them. I'm going to be somewhere else. And I'm looking forward to it, amen? They can have it. They can have it. Philippians chapter 1. All right. We all ready? I didn't introduce him. I did ask him to pray. Most of you probably met him already. But Dale's Caleb's friend. So he wanted to bring him and let him experience Graham Road Baptist Church. Amen. We hope, I hope anyways, that you haven't damaged him while he's here. That he'll still be able to leave, Caleb. These folks here, Alicia, some of y'all can hurt people. And I want to make sure he's still functional when he gets back to college. Amen. I know I'm going to help him. I won't mess him up any. I'm going to help him. I don't know about some of y'all, though. Right, Caleb? All right. It's good to have him with us. Caleb leaves on the 17th? 14th. So we only have a few days left, 3 days with us. So Wednesday's your last service? You have to leave Wednesday morning. So tonight's your last service. Well, good. You're going to be here tonight, or are you going to be doing, you and Dale going somewhere? You decide to come tonight? Well, that's a blessing. Amen. Well, that'll be part of what we can talk about tonight. Amen. It'll be our segue. All right. Philippians chapter 1. We don't want to keep y'all too long. Amen. Say amen right there. You just don't know, do you? You don't know. I mean, how many times have I promised, Alex, that we're going to get out of here? We're just going to get out of here. Let's get out of here early. And poor Pharaoh, he just won't let his people go. Amen. But we're going to see what we can do today. If you'll listen fast, I think that's where the problem occurs. You got to listen fast. And I notice when you're not, it's like, you know, when you're doing something on the internet, you'll see that thing. Is it the internet that does that buffering? And everything's got to stop. And I think sometimes it's your buffering. So I have to pause for a while, Miss Laura, so that the buffering catches up. So just don't buffer this morning, all right? All right? We good? All right. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Listen to these words. And I don't know if it's just my studies and the way I do things. I'm sure I've pulled some things out in Philemon on Wednesday night. I always try and put myself there. I always try and when I read, sometimes kind of spiritually close my eyes and just see what the setting is. Paul's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. And he's writing to a church that he was in prison at one time. Seems like he has a prison ministry, doesn't it? And he's writing and he's thinking about this church. Many things are going through his mind. He's having a remembrance of them. Let me say this. I don't think I'll say this, but I might as well say this. This is free. I said it as well about Paul with Philemon. A pastor ought to be able to have good thoughts. The bad thoughts should be outside and the attacks. It ought to have fond memories, thankful memories, good memories of a church. That when he's somewhere else, Joe, before he preaches this morning, ought to be able to pray and thank God for his home church, that they're praying for him, that they're thinking of him, that there's fond memories of him, that he's not just running from here to go somewhere else, but here is strengthening him while he's there. And Paul's in a prison, and he's having fond, if you will, memories of a place that was very near and dear to him. And it's strengthening him. It strengthened him enough that he's able to write a letter back to them. And it was strengthening him enough that he was able to help other people while he was there. The church is more than a place to come to and sit down and just socialize with other people. He says, I thank my God upon every. When I saw that, that hit me. Can I be honest for a minute? Sometimes pastors don't always have every remembrance. Sometimes there's other things in there. And I have a tendency sometimes, if I'm not careful, to focus on the little things and miss the bigger picture. He's talking about every remembrance of them. Words mean something in the Bible. He says, always, he uses the word again, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with sorrow. No, it's joy. The Philippians letter is it's a joyful letter. In jail. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to give commentary on every verse of Scripture, but it's nice when you can be somewhere else that you've deposited in somewhere else, that you can be confident that the somewhere else will continue on. I've said it before, it's not the Mike Lovett show. It has to be, this church has to be, and that's why I appreciate, there's two generations of a decision that was made, what's that, 50, almost 60-some years ago? 59 years ago? That's still bearing fruit to this day. And a pastor that's not here anymore, that because of that investment, the yield of that, Brother Glass, is now being seen years down the road. And Paul says that from prison, and he's confident of it. I know preachers, sometimes they just come for a period of time and then they're gone, and there's no desire to plant a tree that he might not ever sit under the shade of. And that's what we should be doing. He said in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Paul realized even in prison he wasn't alone. He had people that were in his corner. We know if we read later on in this letter, they sent things to him. They sent money to him. They sent help to him. They were just as much invested in him as he was in them. Verse 8, for God is my record, even is meet for me, verse 7, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, he says, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how I greatly long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What a testimony. I know some preachers be glad to put places behind them. Jesus even mentioned it when he was walking into some cities. He said, if they don't receive you, what? Knock the dust off your feet. I'm thankful when I read this as a preacher, hearing from a preacher, that he can be thankful for this and that he has a record that he longed for them. Longed for, I don't know what's in the future, and but Brother Kloss, I'd love to, years down the road, whatever God does with me, look back and be able to long. I mean, I want to be able to come in here one day in a wheelchair and rice pudding dripping out of my lips, you know what I'm saying, and see what's taking place and long to return to that. This is Paul talking about this. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I could read the whole book, because I want to say things about the whole book, but we'll close there, or we'll stop there. We'll pray and we'll see what the Lord will give us this morning. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you. I can't say enough how much I appreciate you, Lord. In an upside down world, you keep us right side up. I thank you for the local church, the fellowship of believers in the gospel of grace. Thank you for what you did this week. Thank you for the things I saw this week, what you're doing, what you continue to do. It's encouraging. Thank you for the eternal word of God settled, that we can open up and grow in grace even more. Thank you that it was used this week in such a tactful, spiritual, and sensitive way that you could see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives that might not even hear the gospel, let alone see you in some of the conditions they're in. Thank you for the joy that was seen on faces and the unity and the confirmation of what you do if we follow your lead. And Lord, thank you always for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. I can't even get my head around sometimes how believers lived without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You're there sometimes without me even realizing it, and you hear me, and you listen to me, and you comfort me, and you guide me and convict me. And Lord, I can't imagine what believing in you would be like without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the local fellowship, and the scriptures. So thank you for all of those, Lord. Help us this morning, touch those young people down in Children's Church. Fill Brother Jacob. Use him in a mighty way, I plead, Lord, to continue the work that was started this week in these young people's lives. Help us, I plead, to glean something from this passage, Lord, that'll help us and strengthen us in the days that we have. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been a long week. I think in times past we've tried to clean up and even not had Sunday night services just to kind of take a breath and mow the lawn and catch up. I was overwhelmed by the hands. Many hands make light work. I knew, Brother John, when this thing was closing up, it's just me. Miss Linda, being kind to her, please don't read into this. The Timothy men were all speaking about, we're talking about faults now. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, and faults will disable you. We're forgiven of sin, but some of us still sin, obviously. All of us still sin. But some of us have faults and aren't sin. They're just things that can debilitate us sometimes. And I have them. They're glaringly obvious sometimes. Miss Linda called it, she says, you worry. And I tried to defend myself with that. And I said, yes. I said, because it all rises and falls on leadership. And you look at the week and you're going, man, is this going to work? And how's this going to work? And, you know, you need as many. It's a fine-tuned machine, man. And all it takes is one little crack and a spark plug wire and there's a missing cylinder and it doesn't run as good as it runs. And so I was thinking about all that this week. And then I know we like to have our Saturdays afterwards, don't we? And I was thinking, man, the decorations are beautiful. But man, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of decorations. There's barnacles and there's coral reefs and there's just a lot of decorations everywhere and balloons and everything. And then outside and food, and I'm thinking, man, we ain't gonna get out of here and I'm not gonna be that pastor that just, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna be the pastor that shows up in a suit and oversees it all. And it was just amazing to me watching. I really did not think it was going to get done. There was just stuff stuck everywhere. And if it's me and we're doing VBS next year, I'm putting a poster on the wall, man. You know what I'm saying? We're just going to put two, we'll frame them up there as VBS, the theme. Because there was a lot of stuff, man. It's hectic, isn't it? So we got two. Nobody wants to be honest. And I was just sitting there watching all that. And it's a busy week, and all of us have our own things on our plates as well. And I was just taking all that in this week. I'm sure there are many things going on in everyone's mind with all that took place. I say that because sometimes for me, I like to focus on one thing, or maybe just a couple things as a pastor. And this week, I focused on, and I was praying for many things. I believe it is or should be the motivation of any pastor. We've been talking with the Timothy men, oversight. Oversight for pastors can be difficult sometimes. You have to oversee. You have to look after, make sure everything gets tended to for everybody. This is not just the Moose Club for just men. It's not just the Goose Club for Goose. It's for everybody. There's little ones. There's every aspect. It's what's so unique about the church. It covers every aspect, or should, of society. A lot of churches make them social clubs, and it becomes this select few of people that gather only because of their likes instead of the gospel. This is a very diverse crowd. It was a very diverse week. And so there's a lot of things as a pastor you're praying about, you're looking at, you're overseeing, you're motivated, you want to see as a pastor. Much transpired in many aspects and areas this week. And when I tie them in with my constant studies of the Word of God, oversight and prayer for Graham Road Baptist Church, I was reminded of a passage, this passage in particularly, of Scripture. I don't know if it is this way for every preacher, but for me, nothing is unique. What I mean by that is, many times people ask me, how's things doing? And I'll just say, I'm cutting babies. And what's that mean? I'm just Solomon trying to take the wisdom from the Word of God and cut babies. Because a lot of people are always saying, it's my baby. The other one says, no, it's my baby. And so I'm always looking into the Word of God to try and navigate that. I am not, none of us are, fully equipped to be able to navigate ministry. We can't do it. It's not a talent that any of us have in and of ourselves. Ministry is only something that God, Paul said to the Corinthian church, you've been given this ministry of reconciliation, trying to get people reconciled back to God. I've got a couple missions conferences coming up, and I was studying for them, and you know the word missions is not even in the Bible? Missionary is not even in the Bible. And I was looking at that, and I said, you know, and I don't think it's wrong to use that terminology, but I think that's where this divide comes in, that missionaries are these endangered species that go somewhere. But there is a word that's very similar to it. It's called ministry. And ministry has ministers. And ministers just don't go to Bible college and get appointed and paid somewhere. We're all ministers of the gospel. And so I was thinking about all those things this week and reminded of this passage of Scripture. For me, I can find familiarity, functionality, and faith in my own life when I mirror it with Scripture and seek guidance from Scripture. You know, how did Paul minister to people? What did his ministry look like? At least that's how it is for me. For instance, when I encounter a problem, I try to find an example as close as possible to it in Scripture. No situation that somebody comes in my office is unique. You know, you see lawyers and you always look at those volumes. You ever seen a lawyer's desk and you see the volumes of books behind them? Those are all cases. And you'll see, and he'll pull out of one of those books. I don't know how they memorize all those things, or they have them put on a microfiche somewhere. I don't know how it happens. And they'll pull one out and they'll use an instance from another case to make precedence with the case they're dealing with at hand. And for me as a pastor, that's the Bible for me. There's never a unique situation. Well, listen, when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, he wasn't talking about messages that you steal off the internet and you take credit for and plagiarize and say, well, there's nothing new under the sun. He's talking about situations in life. He's talking about conflicts and all that takes place. You can find the answers for it, the guidance for it in Scripture. That's why it's important for us. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And it's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. Got a problem in your family? Search the Scriptures. And so that's what I was doing this week. I try to find an example as close as possible to it in Scripture. I look for what happened, how it was managed, how it was overcome, the blessings from it or whatever. When there are situations with people or conflicts, positive or negatives, I look for what transpired, seek its guidance and instruction to learn from it. The Word of God is not just a book to be read. Oh, boy, so I guess I paused there, so you're waiting for the end of it. You can say amen at any moment if you agree. The Word of God is not just a book to be read, it's a map to be followed. We had that little sheet this week, wasn't it? It was a map. We had the X's, and we were guiding these children. And brother Money doesn't, I mean, I just sit there in awe. And we talked about it over lunch this week. He would be on one side of the college looking at me and going, wow. And I'd be on the other side of the college. And we are two totally different people. But we have the same heart. And I just sat back there. I was weeping during the invitation. I'm going to tell you what, if you were a church member, you didn't come Friday night, you missed it. You just absolutely miss the working of the Holy Spirit. I watched Mr. Wesley, you know what I'm saying? Under conviction and just, and other people. And it was just a blessing to watch. And so the Bible is not a book just to be read. It's a map to be followed. It shapes us. It sharpens us. How does it do that? It does that from the stories in Scripture. And so with that being said, as a pastor, without a pastor, I've gained much help. I'm speaking of me personally through the years. Paul's pastoral epistles for me on the mission field were life-saving. I had a pastor didn't call me 3 times, I don't think. My wife never got a phone call from, and I was, Caleb, appreciate the fact that you have a pastor that talks to you. Joe, some of these other men, you'll go one day. You'll want somebody to talk to you. It's a lonely place out there sometimes when you're in prison. I'm not talking about a cell. I'm just talking about a place that ain't your own. And it's not just a pastor's responsibility to do it. It's a church's responsibility to connect with people. I texted Brother Decker this morning. I texted other preachers this morning. It's a lonely place to be sometimes in the gospel, especially in the season we're in. His pastoral epistles helped me on the mission field. They were life-saving. His letter to Ephesus and others helped me greatly as a father. You know this? Paul never had children. But he wrote some of the most profound truths to a father. Where did he get those things from? His experience as a dad? The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. It teaches us, it shows us, it trains us, it guides us. Not being a father physically, that is him, his insight and instruction as a father, two fathers, is immeasurable. And then his church epistles are immensely helpful as a pastor. You may not understand the full context and comfort of things he states to churches until you've been a pastor of a church. When Paul sits there and he lists all the things that are taking place in his life, and then he says this, and some people might get upset if a pastor mentions this. He says, and the care of the churches. And the care of the church. It wasn't just one he was taking care of. It was many. I've said before, and I know I say things that are crazy sometimes. I feel like a Mormon sometimes. I feel like a Mormon sometimes. I'm taking care of my mother-in-law's home. I'm taking care of my own home. There's oversight and input into my children's homes. There's oversight and input into this home. The gutters need to be fixed sometimes, and the parking lot needs to be swept. You see what I'm saying? And Paul's talking about a vet. He says, I've got all this going on. And then some people that sit on a church pew scratch their head and wonder, well, what in the world? What's he fretting over? Well, there no marriage, no kids, no, just show up on a church pew one day and wonder. Come in. Listen, it looked like a bomb shelter here Friday, didn't it? But there was there was little ants scurrying and sweeping and trashing and everything to make sure. Watch this. This is why getting involved is so important. So that you could be comfortable this morning and you could receive a grace, the gospel of God, and hopefully do something in your life. Not to just sit on a pew, but do something for the gospel's sake. And so, you may not understand the full context and comfort of things. He states to churches until you've been a pastor of a church. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. A lot of pastors don't understand missionaries. There's a conflict there sometimes. I was asking Brother Money, we were talking about the mission suite and everything, and he was saying to me, he went somewhere one time. We share stories, don't we? And wives share stories, don't they? And we were talking about, and he said, man, that's just beautiful up there. It's beautiful. And he says, I was somewhere one time, and the pastor asked me, he said, well, how's the mission suite, prophet's chamber? And Brother Money's reply was, I love him. He said, have you stayed up there? Now, I understood what he was saying. A handful of y'all understood what he was saying. But me and Dale are not the same. Dale thinks it, I say it. We're still the same, but just the uniqueness of who I am, and I would have said it. And I was encouraged by that. We pastors sometimes forget. That mission suite was done with all the mission suites I've ever slept in before. Futons, dog beds, garages, carports, and everything else. Sometimes you don't understand that sitting on a church pew. Amen. Oh, Pharaoh, please. And so, this week as I was taking everything in, that was the case with Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I was thinking, I was navigating my own life. Philippi was not Paul's home. It was not Paul's people. It was a place that Paul encountered and more than likely the first church that Paul ever planted. I was saying this to myself this week, talking to other people. I will never, ever, ever, let me repeat myself, never, ever own a home with a basement again. Ever, never, ever own a home with a basement again, especially finished basement. Ever. Did I say ever? And Ohio has all kinds of homes with basements, and I won't retire in that home that I am. So what's that mean? This ain't home for me. Philippi was not a home. I said, Lord, I thought you gave me this home, and then you keep filling it up with water. Carest thou not? I didn't scream. I didn't shake my fist. I just said, carest thou not? Brother Mark, you feel me? Carest thou not that my boat fills up? It was a place that Paul encountered and more than likely the first church that he planted. He had a fond affection for those there. They were special to him. They had been kind to him. It was where Paul received his Macedonia call, Acts chapter 16 and verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Mine was a deacon. It wasn't a vision, it was a phone call. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. It was as well where he met Lydia. Preached on Lydia not too long ago. Lydia was saved there. It was a place where a demon-possessed damsel was saved. And it was where the Philippian jailer was saved. He had fond memories of what took place there. God truly did great things at Philippi. And it was a special place to Paul. And there is much more I could say about Paul's relationship with Philippi, but circling back to my thought and using Scripture as a guide and map in my life to navigate things as a person, many days as a parent and as a pastor, I've been looking at prayer lately. I've been highlighting that in Philemon. I wanted this morning to start I don't want to call it a series, but I just don't know if we pray it that much. I don't know if I pray that much. And I've made that statement in recent days. And the disciples had that man come to him with his child. And he said, I came to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. And Jesus, you know, rebuked them, if you will, and said, this kind cometh forth by prayer and fasting. Do you see the society we live in nowadays? And we want to make an impact, don't we? And do we pray? Do we fast? I'm not beating anybody up, and I'm not kicking a dead horse when I say this. There's a room back there that we want to meet before services, before we open up the Word of God, before we disperse the very words of life, and we want to pray, and we want to gather together, and we want to believe, touching anything, that God can do something great this morning. And how many people think that? It's not a rebuke. Again, it's a reminder. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so, Philippi was a special place. He did great things there. But circling back to my thought, using Scripture as a guide and map in my life to navigate things as a person, a parent, a pastor, I've been looking at prayer lately as directed by our study of the letter Philemon and last week's prayer of the letter. Paul mentioned it to Philemon. He mentioned he was praying. And so Paul starts out this letter as well to Philippi with a prayer. Seems like Paul was a man of prayer. We ought to be people of prayer, shouldn't we? I heard a couple grunts. We ought to be people of prayer, shouldn't we? Anybody have a prayer request this morning? Okay, five. Anybody have lost family members, friends? We ought to be praying. And Paul prayed for these people. He started out the letter that way. We ought to be people of prayer, and pastors ought to be people of prayer. We mentioned this not too long ago. Deacons were started so a pastor could study the Word of God and pray. Deacons were started so that pastors could pray and study the Word of God. Okay, I'm just making sure everybody's with me. And the pew, as Acts instructs, ought to free him up to pray. And I appreciated that this week. Now, as we understand this letter more, we realize that Paul wrote this letter from jail in Rome. I will say this, I don't know if any of us wants to be in jail, let alone writing to those that are free to encourage them. And yet Philippi had encouraged him while there, and thus he writes to them because of the bond that they had and his affection for them. When I read Paul's letters as a pastor, I realized Paul did some of his best work in jail. And he was joyful for it. I kept putting a smile on my face when I went home Thursday night. I was trying to be joyful for it. Because have I reminded you? Ohio has basements. And yet Philippi had encouraged him while there, and thus he writes to them because of this bond and affection. I'm not trying to be funny this morning when I say that. As I said, I'm trying to navigate my own life through Scripture. Stowe, Ohio ain't my home. But because of the Lord making me a prisoner of His, it has been. And can I say it? I'm blessed to be a person in prison here for the gospel's sake. I do hope you realize if not for the gospel, I wouldn't be here. I've come to embrace that, as hard as that is. We're coming up, the leaves are starting to fall at my house already, Miss Paula. And you know what that means? I'm going to have to get the snow shovel out, salt, and all the things that come from that. Why couldn't God have just made a planet with no snow? I'm just saying. I just think like that sometimes. And so I do hope you realize if not for the gospel, I wouldn't be here. I've come to embrace that. And so with all that has taken place, both personally from me this week and pastorally during VBS and seeing an old friend, watching God do a work here, trying to increase my own prayer life, I don't want to write a letter to you this morning to encourage you. I want to preach a message. And I want to express, as Paul did to Philippi, some things he was praying for them. With that being said, Dan, with that being said, continued. No, I'm just kidding. With that being said, missile. I want to preach on this thought this morning. A prayer from a preacher in prison. And I've already established, don't walk out of here and say, you know, pastor's just, I mean, I'm just tired of him saying he's not from Ohio. No, I laid it down. It's a good thing, other than basements. It's a good thing. Can I get an amen, Brother Mark? Can I get a show of hands who has basements in this? Did anybody besides mine and Mark's get flooded this week? Bad? Is it finished basement? Okay. Well, good on you. Rub it in a little more. Yeah, okay. A prayer from a preacher in prison. First, Paul starts out his letter to them with a prayer, verses 1 through 5. It was a prayer of gratitude. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. A prayer from a preacher in prison was a prayer first of gratitude. Paul, as he thought about these folks from his prison cell in Rome, he writes to them of his gratitude for them and his prayer to that end. It would take me a series to show and record all the places and things that Paul's travels and relationships gave him with his relationship with his church. They had sent men to him. They had sent money to him. And they had ministered to him. And as he sat in that prison and at times maybe wonder, was it all worth it? He took his own advice and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I closed out last night, Brother Mike, and I texted you, man. I closed out last night after a very busy and broken but blessed week by praying and being grateful to God for the folks in this church and the fellowship of the gospel. I was at a low point earlier in the week. I was gutted, man. I was gutted, and it seemed so trivial. But I can't begin to tell you, in Africa, my house flooded. And we lost so many things over there. And my house at this place is flooded 3 times. And water has always been a nemesis. And then I come here, and what is the theme for the week? Water! Water! And I said to another preacher, I said, I'm glad the theme wasn't volcanoes. I said to a preacher, I said, there was all kinds of things. I said, I'm going to give thanks and everything. I'm thankful that this VBS wasn't volcanoes and boogeymen and everything else. It's just water. But I was tired of seeing water and fishes and everything else. I was glad when we took those decorations down. If I ever see another fish or water, I'm not coming to VBS. Some men in the church reached out and said, we want to come over. And of course, Ohio, you know, it was a disaster. So my insurance policy doesn't cover it. Go figure. And everything was working at my house. What wasn't working is the pipes that my sump goes to that were engineered and I pay taxes for was overloading the system. But Cody sent me a link that Summit County's given 50% off on their taxes to be able to compensate. Isn't that wonderful? How about you just engineer it right to begin with? But those men come over to the house and waded through wet carpet and picked up the things that I had, pictures and things that were, you know, I lived there. I was taking advantage of Ohio having basements, finished basements, Brother Mark. And I left. After they left, I just sat there and I just wept. I couldn't have done it myself. I was appreciative. There probably would have been a time in this church, Miss Linda, that nobody would have come over and would have probably said, that's God's judgment on him. He's not supposed to be here. So I closed out last night after a very busy, broken, but blessed week by praying and being grateful to God for the folks in this church and the fellowship of the gospel. Words could never express the joy and comfort I had this week watching people that I've prayed with, struggled with, and served with for 12 years. It's made being in prison here much more enjoyable. I put on my notes a little smiley face. So I didn't really mean prison is prison, but you understand the connotation. Next, Paul's prayer while in prison was a prayer of growth. Before I close that out, I want to say it again, and I might not say it enough. I do say thank you an awful lot. But I'm thankful for this church. I really am. It took some rough days in the beginning. But what a joy it was to just walk around and seeing people just hands to the plow, smile on their face, helping kids, and just, I mean, Brother Caleb, that picture was just, you just look, and I know churches three times our size that don't have half that many workers come and work VBS. The statistics of workers and just people that sit on a pew in this church are overwhelming. You know, I was in a church that had, when I graduated Bible college, I don't know, it was 2,700 people, I guess, probably more, and probably had double what we have on visitation. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to do the math. You got to start realizing that it's better than it could be. And I'm thankful for this church, as Paul was for Philippi. I want to leave here one day, and I want to have nice thoughts of what God did while we were here, and I got to see that this week, and I've gotten to see it in many days. It was a prayer from a preacher in prison. It was a prayer of gratitude. It was a prayer of growth. Verses 6 through 11, Paul said to this church, now he said, being confident of this very thing, I don't know, I can only speak for me as a preacher, but sometimes confidence is not a thing that is always in every preacher, because you're confident in God. You're confident in everything else that is in relationship to you, but Paul's having confidence in what? You know, this isn't, we're not robots. You know, I tried to show the finance team that this is what the budget looks like when we start out January. Yeah, and you got to, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You got to make this thing work. You know? And it's not like, watch this. This ain't Cogga Falls. This ain't Stowe. They recover and they fix things by raising everybody's taxes. That's how society does. You know how the church does it? By willingly giving to the Lord of what we have in spite of all that. And if nobody gives, then guess what happens? Nothing gets done. And when you're on the mission field, you know what you do? You look at that. Here's, my kids were this spiritual when we were missionaries on deputation. Here's the two questions they asked. Spiritual. These were spiritual questions, Caleb. We'd get in the vehicle after we went to a church. And spiritual, my boys would say, how much was a love offering? And did they take us on? You know why? Because it doesn't happen on its own. My children knew I wanted to get to the mission field. They knew God was going to do something in the mission field. But here's the thing about it. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen without. And Paul is praying a prayer. What would it have been look like, preacher, if Paul's in prison and Epaphroditus sends him a letter or comes to him and says, hey, I wanted to bring you a love offering. And things are really tight now at Philippi. Things are really tight. Our basement flooded at Philippi and we're having... we had to shut the church down. We weren't able to help you, Paul, but we're praying for you. Gets word planted, put his heart and soul into that thing. Put his heart and soul. I can't imagine, Brother Alex, what it'd be like if we brought Dr. Billington back. Brought Dr. Billington back and said, Dr. Billington, we'd like to take you by the church, see what it looks like. You drive down that road and I don't know if we understand. There's a legacy of 100. There's churches bigger, better, and probably more of an outreach than we are. We're coming up on 100 years. You know what that took? It took preachers and people sitting on pews praying for what? The growth. It isn't a place to get a padded pew and sit sour and soak. It's a place to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the growth that's in this church. Caleb, I don't mean to highlight you, but I'll highlight you. Your dad tried to make a case for you the other day, but I watch better than your dad watches. He's partial. I remember days when we'd do stuff, you'd be hiding, man. I'd have to find you over there in them bushes somewhere. Caleb, what you doing over here? No, I was just looking. No, you weren't really, but I mean, you hid, Caleb. Say it. Amen. Man, grass couldn't grow under his feet this week. Taking pictures, doing this, and then he made that statement over there. I hope nobody's feathers got ruffled. And he said, listen, let's remember this week. It's for the kids. You can talk to each other. You can fellowship with each other. You can do whatever you want with each other. But this week's for the kids. That's growth. Do I need to pull pictures up of that goofy-looking kid from 12 years ago? Goofy little kid, shaved his head, looked like he come from a concentration camp. I just sat there. I drove home the other night, and I was just saying, there was highlights, and I could go through here and highlight so much of it, but I just said, wow, I'm so looking forward to see what God does with Caleb, that he marries right, and his ministry's right, and his motivation is right down the road. Paul had a prayer for growth, verses 6 through 11. Paul from prison, watch what he says. He said in verse 9, he said, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul from prison, having thoughts of gratitude towards those folks in Philippi as well, had thoughts and prayers of growth. Whenever I read letters in the New Testament addressed to certain people or addressing certain people, I always reflect on how that looked to Paul and them. Philemon is the one we've been looking at lately. Paul, while in prison, wanted those there in that church to grow. Shouldn't that be what every pastor prays for? And shouldn't every person who has a pastor want? I walked around watching visitors, members, and I prayed. Can I say this? While in my prison, that each and every one would grow, and was thankful for the growth that I'd already seen. I just watched people interact with people and watched things that were taking place. Amaya, one day, half of us might not ever be here, and Amaya might be going through hell by the half acre. And just says, you know, I remember what I had there and what was there. And she comes back and begins that growth period. Or because of this place, she continues to grow. And I could go through here and enumerate over and over again. There's people that came to that event. And when it was over with, watch this. Please, can I just say this? When it came time to score the final touchdown, you got in a car and left. You didn't get to experience the fellowship afterwards. You didn't get to experience the camaraderie and the joy and the completion of it all, Brother John. I mean, that's some of the most precious fellowship that I have. It's just a work day sometimes. People putting their hand to the plow. I mean, the kitchen was doing something. The garage was doing something. People outside were doing something. I mean, it was just watching people in different stages of growth. Can I say, as a pastor, you know, the hardest thing sometimes is just getting people to grow. They get watered, they get fertilized. What was it, the parable of the Lord that had that tree in the vineyard? And he says, 7 years, man, 7 years. Listen, I'm cutting it down. He said, no. He said, no, please. Let me till it and dung it. Give it one more year, please. How many times, preacher, you just sit on a church, you sit in a pulpit and you look back and you say, is that person ever going to grow? Are they ever going to get closer to God? Are they ever going to get more involved? Are they ever going to get engaged? And I'm going to tell you what, there was so much I could illuminate on and highlight on of growth in this church. There was times, I remember the days when it was VBS, and I had all the little elves coming to me and saying, I didn't have any. It was just nice to see it. Nice to see God. And watch this. When that takes place, the Spirit of God has liberty to be able to touch young girls' lives, Caden, Wesley's life, who knows what will take place. He's able to do something because he's not worrying about what's taking place in the nursery spiritually. He's able to have liberty and touch people and help people and get them. Your growth is important to other people's growth. Can you imagine if this section of my arm quit growing, how much it affects this section of my arm? It was a prayer for growth. The greatest impact and desire that you should have as a believer is that you may grow, and that someone is praying for you and intimately involved in wanting that to happen. Remember that when the pastor comes up and involves himself in your life, pushes you to grow, and tries to give you a vision for what you can be in Christ. We often pray and want God to answer our prayers. Do you ever think a pastor is praying as well? He wants his prayers answered for you. We talk to God and pray and we want him answered for us. Did you ever think a pastor prays and wants them answered for you? It's a motivation to see. You need to see yourself more than what you're capable of being. Amen. Be a willing participant. Lastly, this. Paul's prayer from prison for Philippi was a prayer of gratitude. I'm thankful for this church. I really am. I can't tell you how many nights I went home and just, I was trying to find the best ticket prices out of Akron Airport. And now that's not the case. It's a prayer of gratitude. I'm thankful for what this church is and what it will be in the future. It's a prayer of growth. Sure, there was people that could have grown, but I was thankful and praying for the ones that were growing and had grown. W-N-E-D, not A-N-E-D. Amen. I'm from South Carolina. I can do that. Amen, buddy. Lastly, this. It was a prayer of growth. It was a prayer of gratitude. It was a prayer of grace. Verses 7 through 17. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely opposing, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I could read through the rest of the letter and show over and over Paul's expression of grace to them and his desire for it from them. But for time and my desire to just be short, or should I say shorter, and I put a little smile there, Alicia, for effect, as God's people would, or as God's people we should be and need to be, the most gracious people. I would dare say that Paul used the word grace in more of his writings than any other New Testament writer. He starts the letter with grace and mentions to them in his prayer for grace to be partakers in grace. Grace simply means favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another as a grant made as an act of grace, appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. Favorable influence of God, divine influence, or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. I could say much more, but I'll close with this and understand that all grace comes from God. I've been reflecting on a lot of things this week. Some men come by the house. We got things done in about an hour and 40 minutes, and then 5 hours later, they left. As soon as Those men pulled out. More people pulled in. The job was already done, but I welcomed them in, and we sat there. One of them was Joe and Angela. And I can't help, Brother Jim, but keep reflecting. Almost 12 years ago, Joe's mom come up, meet me right there where you are, Brother Clausen. She says, I have a son. I have a son. He's not in church right now. He's married. And since you were a police officer and he's a police officer, y'all might hit it off. And I don't know, I might be adding to it. Basically, the desire was for a mom to get her boy back in church. And now he was at the house last night, and we were strategizing on what God's going to do with him. Called to preach now, surrendered to the mission field. One of several other men, Caleb, that because I decided to get in prison and have a basement and endure this snow, buddy. Can I get an amen? Grace was given, and grace has been received. Grace was given, and grace has been received. We're supposed to be people of grace. We're not all firing on all cylinders, but we should be able to help each other so that when people come here, they see a place that's full of grace, God's grace. And if that happens, then I can sit in my little prison and preach a message and be thankful for, have a prayer of gratitude, have a prayer of growth. Mark, you've grown exponentially since I've gotten here. You're still as quirky as the day is long, but you've grown, Mark. Okay, I just want to reinforce that, Mark. I'm just kidding. I love you. It was a prayer of gratitude. It was a prayer of growth. It was a prayer of grace. There's no telling what else this church can do. There's no telling what's going to take place. Watch this. Not because it was Pastor Lovett's idea to talk to men and train men and teach the men and everything, but it was the atmosphere and the attitude of this church that Tom Brennan could get saved here, go to college here, pastor churches, have a son. I meet that son. He comes back here. He's pastored churches. She has a daughter, has a husband. Do you see the facility and what it should be? It should never be known as that's that place that's a church split and that's that place that's a church problem. It should be a place of gratitude, growth, and grace. And I'll say this in closing, and it's 12. Look at that. Didn't go over. Introduction and invitation is not part of the message. Is that right? I'm just telling you, if you're writing this stuff down, amen? I'm thankful for this church. If I left tomorrow, I'd be happy for what God's done here. And can I say this? And I say this unapologetically. I'm thankful that it was snatched out of the hands of the devil. Because it could be ABT, and it could be a yoga center like in Hudson or any number of things. And it's not. And I'm thankful for that. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Thank you for what you did this week in people's lives and hearts. And thank you for what you were able to show me. I said many years ago, Lord, we're going to get into that land of milk and honey. And the grapes are as big as basketballs. We've been there. We are there. And thank you for leading us there. Help us to continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done here this week, in the days past, and in the days ahead. We love you, Lord. Touch our hearts this morning. Help us to be a grateful people. Help us to want to grow. And help us to be gracious to others. We ask you all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.